listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
You might be surprised about the answer that Jesus gave to this question as to, are these laws important for us? Mm. Okay. And he did it in chapter 5. He said of Matthew, he said, "Do not think I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until it is all accomplished. Whoever then annuls the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called in the kingdom, called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and scribes, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven."
Now, what
does that surprise you?
No, because what he meant by that, he even said to the other people, he said, you know, the prostitutes and the tax collectors are going into heaven ahead of you. It makes no sense. It's because when Jesus died and his righteousness became our righteousness, that righteousness is more righteous than we can do all the good works from the kingdom come.
Right, right.
So if, when they learn that, so you got it.
So I think what Jesus is saying here is that that the Hebrew scriptures, the law and the prophets, have permanent validity to everyone in the kingdom of God. That would be you and me. They apply to us.
That doesn't necessarily mean the Talmud, but it does mean the scriptures.
Right, the scriptures. Yeah, yeah. All the Hebrew. Talmud, we're talking about the Hebrew
Talmud
scriptures.
The Talmud goes a little awry there, you know?
Well, it's just a commentary. So there are commentaries on the scriptures. Let's just stick to the scriptures.
Yeah, yeah, please.
And then the second thing he says is the Hebrew scriptures should be taught and obeyed by the children of the kingdom. Okay? And that entrance into heaven is dependent upon an inner state of righteousness that's reflected in the teaching of the Hebrew scriptures. Don't think I came to abolish the law. I came to
fulfill it.
Pleroo is the word, fulfill. That word can mean to fill a hole. It can mean to complete. But all my dictionaries say that in Matthew 5:17, it means to explain more fully. I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to explain it more fully.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the context in the next few verses, Jesus five times says, "You've heard it said, if you murder a person, you're condemned. But I say, if you murder a person with your words, you're just as guilty." Right? So there's five instances where you've heard the ancients say, "Do not commit adultery." But I say to you, now he's explaining it more fuller, if you have lust for a woman in a heart, you've already committed adultery
in
your heart.
Because that makes it very hard, because as a male who's made for procreation, it's hard not to think about women that way, particularly young. I'm an old guy. It's okay. But when I was a young man, or other young men out there. So and how do you listen to that and not walk around condemned? Whoa, woe is me, you know.
Well, it's one thing to look at the attractiveness of a woman.
Yeah.
But what do you do with the thought?
But Martin Luther, didn't he beat himself with straps and stuff because he knew he was doing things wrong?
No, I think you're talking about Jerome, maybe, who was a translator of the Vulgate, the Latin Bible.
Oh.
But scholars, guys that are a lot smarter than me, Rhett, have said, and this is a book that I have on the Bible from John Stott and Alex Motier. These are like classic Christian theologians. They say that there's three ways that we actually can look at these laws in the Hebrew scriptures. The first way is the theonomic way. It says that all the laws are still in effect and they must be obeyed to the letter. Okay. Now, I've got a lot of Jewish friends who are Christians, and I worked with them in Israel. And around lunch, we would sit, and we would talk about which of these laws should we be keeping and which ones shouldn't we. Now, obviously, don't kill, don't steal, don't covet, you know, the Ten Commandments, and then there's a bunch of others, okay? As far as they're concerned, as Jews who are followers of Jesus— whenever it says, do these laws, do these things for all of your days, they consider those to be binding to them. And often we would discuss, well, if the rapture happens, are Jewish Christian, are Jewish followers of Jesus going to be raptured with the church? We had discussions like that. Okay, so theonomic. That's one way. You look at the laws of the Old Testament, and you must obey them as best as you can. Now, a second approach.
It's a horrible idea for a life, though. I mean, God, you're constantly worried, walking on eggshells. Did I offend God today? You know.
Right. Okay. The second manner to look at these laws is the cultural approach, which says that all the laws belong to their day and have nothing to do with our lives today. Now, one of my friends from a few years ago had a boyfriend who was, at the time she met him, she was involved in dealing drugs. And she fell in love with this guy, and they were fully engaging in all the sexual activity that goes along with that. And then the guy had someone took him to church, and he had a conversion experience, and he became a follower of Jesus.
Wow.
And he said to her when he saw her, "Robin, we can't be having sex anymore." And she said, "Why not?" And he said, "Because I'm a Christian now." And she said, "Well, I'm a Christian." And he said, "You're a Christian and we've been having sex? Because the Bible says if you're not married, you shouldn't be having sex." And Robin says, "No, I think it's okay for Christians to have sex outside of marriage."
Mm.
And Matt said to her, "Well, just go ask your pastor."
Mm-hmm.
So Robin went, and she asked her pastor, "Look, my boyfriend, he just became a Christian, and he says we can't have sex before marriage. Is that true?" And you know what the pastor said? "Well, Robin, you know that back in the Bible days, they wore sandals and they rode camels, and we don't wear sandals and ride camels anymore. And all those laws are for those times, and those things are out of date. Of course you can have sex."
Oh, my word.
"With your boyfriend."
And he obviously knew by the Spirit. I had the same incident. I knew that the day I got born again, after that, I said, no, I tried to live like a monk for the next 7 years. That didn't work out so well in the end either. But I know when you have the Spirit of Truth come in, you go, "I don't think we're supposed to do this anymore."
Right, exactly. So that's what happened to Matt. And
yeah, Spirit of Truth, the holiness of God.
So Robin comes back to Matt and says, "Well, my pastor said it's okay for us to have sex."
Oh,
and I think Matt said, "He don't know crap about the Bible." So they got married.
Oh, good.
And their daughter went on a trip to Nicaragua with us. That's how I met these guys.
Ooh, that's all that went down, huh?
So we got the theonomic, obey them as best you can. We got the culture, just ignore them. They're old and out of date. And then we have a third view called the principle approach. And this is the biblical interpretations technique that says behind each cultural practice, there is a spiritual principle that is always relevant to our lives as members of the kingdom. Which one makes more sense to you? Which one?
You know.
The principle approach, right?
Yeah.
If all scripture is inspired by God and profitable to teach us,
yes,
then what in that passage of scripture in Leviticus chapter 19, "Don't cut the hair on your forelocks, don't trim your beard, and don't make marks to the worship of your dead or tattoos on your body." What's the principle behind that? Well, the principle behind that, since we're not Egyptians worshiping the dead, is we should not be involved in any worship of the dead, and we should be worshiping Yahweh
don't
only.
Don't walk like an Egyptian. Remember that song? Talk like an Egyptian.
So when Paul wrote this to his disciple Timothy, that all scripture is inspired by God, what scripture was he referring to? Think for a moment. What was he referring to?
Well, then it would be the Torah.
The Hebrew scriptures, right.
Yeah, yeah.
So right now you and I have been issued a challenge.
Mm.
As we open the pages of the Bible and we look in that first two-thirds of it, and we're reading these stories and then we're reading these laws that are given, we have a challenge. What's behind this cultural practice that God is wanting me in the 21st century to apply to my life?
Mm.
Okay, well, let's take a look at one of God's laws that's found in Exodus 23:19. "You shall not boil a goat in its mother's milk." Now, what do we do with this command? I mean,
I don't know anybody that's boiling goat and milk anyway.
Do you know anybody that owns any goats? I don't.
No.
Okay, we're not goat farmers, okay? Maybe you've seen a baby goat. I have seen them. They're
adorable little guys.
Yeah, and
you know the number one eating meat in the world, though, is goat?
It's very tasty. I've been to restaurants in Mexico. Tasty, okay?
I wish we didn't have to eat our animal friends. If I had to kill the cows, I had friends of their missionaries like you, and they had a beautiful bull outside west of town, and that bull would come running towards me, and he'd lick my, with his scratchy tongue, would lick my arm, and I just love that bull. I'd come back in a few months, where's the bull? It's in the refrigerator. Oh, no. I want my bull friend. I would have, how much was he? $800 I would have given that to keep him alive. I can't look in those big brown eyes. I couldn't just, you know what I mean?
Well, I had a conversation with a friend of mine that's a vegetarian about this yesterday. This is a little sidetrack here. But, you know, it's humans that are made in God's image. And animals are not made in God's image. There's two different natures there. God says to eat the animals and eat the plants.
You have dominion over all of us.
You know. So.
But we're in a fallen state. Maybe before the fallen state we didn't eat our friends. I don't know.
I'm not sure. I can't really address that. But we're not goat farmers. No. But the commandment in Exodus 23:19 says, "Don't boil a calf or a goat in its mother's milk."
So what do you do?
What do we do with that? Okay, summer of '99, we moved to Jerusalem. We're living downtown on Rabbi Akiva Street in an apartment right next to the park, a big park in downtown Jerusalem. A couple blocks away is the McDonald's. Now, I could not wait to take my family to the McDonald's. And so we walked over one morning or one midday.
Why couldn't you wait to go there?
Well, it's American food. I'm eating shawarma. I'm eating falafel. I'm eating hummus. Yeah. I'm in this. It's a different
night.
They
don't get the concept of a burger.
Right. So we walk over to the McDonald's and I look at the menu and I don't see a Big Mac. I don't see a cheeseburger. And so I order a quarter pounder. Now, my son Lucas, all the way at the end of the counter, about 15, 20 feet away, it's a long counter, is another cash register.
Mm-hmm.
And Lucas is ordering a McFlurry, a milkshake.
Mm.
And as soon as they make that McFlurry, there's a guard standing there with a door. It's a glass partition with a separate room.
Mm-hmm.
He opens the door and he directs Lucas to go sit in that separate room. And he's only 7. And I look at him, I go, "No, Lucas, come here." But the guard said, "No, he must sit in here and drink his
milk." Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Around us in the presence of